I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt. I found myself doing so many favors for so many people that then I still had to do everything I needed to do to keep Joyce Meyer Ministries running and operating right. And we want to do favors for people, but you can only do so much. And anybody that wants to hear yes is not going to like hearing no. But if people, now you got to hear this, if people really love you, if they're true friends and they really love you, they will want you to follow God, not them. I've had a couple of occasions where I've asked people to do something and they said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say no. I just don't feel like it's what God wants me to do. And I'm like, hey, that's great. I want you to follow God. If you really love people, you're going to want them to follow God, not you, if what you want is not what God wants. Amen? So don't put that pressure on people just to try to get them to do what you want them to do. Encourage them to hear from God. Matthew 6, 1 through 7, these scriptures are almost comical, but there's a great lesson in them. Take care not to do your good deeds publicly or before men in order to be seen by them. Now, they may see you, but you're not to do them so they see you. Otherwise, you'll have no reward reserved for and awaiting you with and from your Father who's in heaven. Quick story I can tell you. Many years ago, how many of you remember the big rhinestone Jesus pins? Anybody alive back then? Okay. Me and Dodie, did you ever wear a Jesus pin? Oh, I did. I had a great big one. And so one day I was getting my nails done, and there was a nurse in there, and it was a real small shop. There was only two girls that worked in there. And the one lady was a nurse, and she was talking about how hard it was to have these patients that were so sick and not be allowed to pray for them or, you know, talk to them about Jesus. And so I had this great idea. Give her your Jesus pin and just tell her if she wears that on her uniform, just when she bends over the patients to care for them, just seeing that name will bless them and help them. Now that sounds anointed, don't it? And so I knew God wanted me to just not make a big deal out of it, you know, just simply do it. And I didn't know how I was going to do it and do it in secret, because the girl was sitting there working on me, and all of a sudden she said, oh, I ran out of a certain product. I've got to run next door is where the supply house was and get this product. So there, God opened the door wide open for me to do it and not make a big deal out of it. But I sat there and waited till she got back. Because my motive was I wanted to be well thought of. I didn't know that at the time. But so I waited, and then I gave the lady the Jesus pen, told her what I felt like God told me, and sure enough, I got what I wanted. Everybody said, oh, you're so nice. That is so, how generous. That is so great. And when I left the shop, God spoke to me very clearly. He said, I hope you enjoyed that, because that's all you're getting. You see, we give up our reward that would come from God by taking some little something from people because we want to impress them. And half the time, the people we're trying to impress don't care anything about us anyway. You know how freeing it is to get to the point where you're not living to impress people? My goodness. What pressure it takes off of you. Remember, Not many people have the ability to be brutally self-honest about why they're doing things. Otherwise, you'll have no reward from God. And it goes on through here. It's hard to believe they actually did this, but I guess they did. So when you give to the poor, don't blow a trumpet before you like the hypocrites in the synagogues and streets like to do. Could you imagine if I stood up here and I'm going to give an offering now. And they did it to be recognized and honored and praised by men. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full already. See, that was all they got. They lost their reward from God. But when you give to charity, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And I never really fully understood that. So, you know, when you don't understand something, talk to God about it. I said, what does that mean? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And he just told me, after you do something good, don't go home and in your mind wallow in the thoughts of how good you were. See, love just stays in the shadows until it's needed, and then it slips out, does what it needs to do, and then slips back into the shadows until it's needed again. Love doesn't blow a trumpet. It says to pray in secret. God will reward you in the open. If you're a person that's called as an intercessor and God really has anointed you and you can pray 3, 4, 5 hours, don't tell anybody. Oh, it's not nearly so much fun if we don't tell anybody. How much fun it is to go to breakfast with Sister Super New Christian. And of course, the subject of prayer will come up. And you'll ask her, so how's your prayer life? Well, she's a new Christian. I mean, she prays 5 minutes and thinks she's died and gone to heaven. And so she says, you know, yeah, I pray about 5-10 minutes every morning. Oh. And then she says, well, is something wrong? Well, I pray 4 hours every morning. We love to find a way to tell people what we're doing. You know, I have to admit, when I'm coming here, sometimes I like to tell people. Matter of fact, I just realized somebody texted me during the break. Somebody I haven't heard from in a long time, and said, I just want you to know that God has me especially praying for you this morning. And I text back and said, yeah, I'm at Lakewood this morning. And I don't know, maybe if I would have been at a church in Podunk, Arkansas, preaching to 10 people, I wouldn't have done that. Come on, you know, it's hard to live and not want to impress people. But it's not good for us to do it. At least I'm being brutally honest in front of all of you. And I love this too. And when you pray, don't heap up phrases, multiplying words, repeating the same ones over and over. You know, praying long isn't nearly as good as praying effective. Matter of fact, I remember one time God told me, from now on, I want you to ask me for what you want and need in as few words as possible. You know how hard it is when you sin just to simply say, God, I did this and I know it was wrong. Please forgive me. No, we got to, oh, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, oh, God, forgive me, God. It's amazing how some people, I remember one woman in particular. I mean, this woman, when she started praying, she became a totally different person. Oh, thou most holy God. Okay, I'll shut up before I get in trouble. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15 is a wonderful, wonderful four scriptures about motives. For no one can lay any foundation other than that which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's the beginning of everything. He's the foundation on which everything else is built. If it's not done to and with and for him, then it's useless. But if anybody builds on that foundation, so he's the foundation, and we will build on the foundation, but we have several different materials we can build with. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble or straw. So obviously we should go for the gold, right? Which would be perfectly pure motives. Of course, I guess if you get down to straw, then you're what I've been saying we shouldn't be. Each one's work, now get this, each one's work will be clearly shown for what it is, for the day of judgment, which is coming, will disclose it because it will be revealed with fire. The Bible's depicted Jesus as having eyes of fire. And I just see this judgment day as passing before those eyes of fire and God being able to see right through everything we did to exactly why we did it. And it says everything that was done with a wrong motive will be burned up and the reward of it will be totally lost. It says he will suffer the loss of his reward, yet he himself will be saved, but only as one who has barely escaped through fire. So we won't lose our salvation because of wrong motives, but we will lose the reward that we could have had. You know, I don't know, scripture just really hit me the other day that everything we see is temporal. Paul said he doesn't get, I don't get upset about the trials we're going through. He called them a light, momentary affliction. And he said, because we look to the unseen, not to the seen, because everything seen is temporal and passing away. Everything unseen is eternal. And it just hit me that everything I see, everything we think we own, everything we have, we ourselves, everybody we know, we're not going to be here forever. Every time you buy something, take it home, it's already in the process of decay. You give it a little while and it'll be a mess. But everything we can't see is what we should be living for.
Joyce, I really think people are going to like this candid conversation topic today, but we have to be very careful how we describe it because, of course, everyone loves their children, but there are times that we don't like them very well.
Right.
So today we want to talk about those times, different phases in people's lives when maybe there's something you're going through with a child that you just don't like them very well right now. Have you ever had any times like that?
My children were all perfect, and I just loved them to pieces.
I remember telling my children, I love you, but I just don't like you right now.
Yeah. There's probably things about each one of my children that I didn't like, but two of them in particular I had some major issues with. Now, keeping in mind that I was still having some major issues myself, especially with my oldest son. I loved him, but I just didn't like him because I didn't know why at the time, but I found out since it was because he was just like me. And so we were constantly clashing because we were both the type A driven, I'm going to have my way, don't try to tell me what to do type thing. And I don't care what I cooked for dinner, he didn't like it. And, You know, he was one of the teenagers that rolled his eyes back in his head and slumped in his bed. And, you know, I remember him telling me one time, well, if you wouldn't have been the way you were, I wouldn't be the way I am. Mm-hmm. And so we had a rough go. I mean, I have to say, when he moved away from home, he went to Florida to go to school to be a missionary. And I was just so glad.
And that's okay to say, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, there are times that we're struggling with our children. The relationships change in different ways as the children age, and sometimes we need a break.
Well, now he runs our World Missions program, and, you know, I can say that I get along great with all my children now. They all love me to pieces. I mean, I would say that there's a lot of days when I talk to every single one of them. My one daughter, which was the one that I had such a hard time with when she was growing up, which I'll tell you about in a minute. First thing she does every morning when she wakes up is call me. A lot of times she'll still be in bed when she calls me. And she was just messy. You know, she was very passive and laid back and hated school and just barely got by. And, you know, I was real Miss Neat and Tidy. And, you know, I remember those speeches. If you're going to live in my house, you're going to keep this room clean. You know, I remember Dave finally said one time, he said, you tell me the things that you absolutely cannot put up with, and I'll make her do them. Other than that, you have to stop this. Because he said, all you two do is fight all the time. And honestly, we had argued so much. By the time she left home, she did not call me or speak to me for 6 months.
Wow.
After she got married.
And now she does every day.
Well, now she actually helps take care of me. You know, this morning I was having a problem with my phone, and she just got in her car and came over and fixed it for me. And we're just real close now. And I have four children. My oldest son, David, and I had a lot of issues with him when he was growing up. It was challenging, but it was a lot of it was because he was just like me. And to be honest, I didn't like myself. Mm. And I think a lot of times, you know, the child that you, if you don't like yourself, you're not going to like the child that's like you. And then also the ones that are totally opposite of you.
Yeah.
That can be an issue too, because you expect them to do things. See, I was Miss Neat and Tidy, so I expected her to clean up. And I always say when Laura came home from school, you could see a trail. She'd drop her coat, drop her books, you know. Half the time she couldn't find things, and but there were good times too.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like everything was bad. You know, we did things with our kids. I remember when she was in brownies and she'd put on her little brownie outfit, and I would take her to brownies. Aww. And you know, I think especially, and if there's any teenagers watching, please don't be offended, but I think especially when kids are going through the teenage years, they're starting to want their freedom. Mm-hmm. And that's something God puts in them. They're starting to pull away. They have more opinions. They're quick to give them to you. Mm-hmm. They're kind of not wanting people to tell them what to do anymore, and you're not finished telling them what to do now.
Right.
I mean, I remember like her and I having a big argument over bikinis were becoming a thing. Well, she wanted a two-piece bathing suit. I told her she could get a two-piece, but it wasn't going to be a bikini, and she found one that I thought was too – I mean, we just had the biggest fight over that.
Yeah.
And but it's all worked out. 6 months after she was married, she came to my house, and she sat down, and she said, you know what? You were right about everything.
That
was a wonderful day.
Every parent wants to hear that. Yes.
That was a wonderful day.
But what you're saying, a lot of people want to hide.
Yeah.
Like – we don't ever want anybody to think that we are having any problems with our children or that our relationships aren't perfect.
Right.
And so I think it's great just to bring this up in the open and say, it's okay if there's a phase that is not going exactly like you want it to.
Right. I told my daughter this morning what the content was going to be today. She said, well, I know who'll be in that. And they're so good about letting me, you know, because not every relationship is perfect, you know. I read something in a book the other day, and it just blessed me so much. And I'm actually going to do a teaching on this. But it's okay to not be okay. Mm. You know, we don't always have to be feeling loving toward everybody all the time, you know. Yeah. And I always loved my kids. I never did not love my kids, but there were times when I didn't like them. Now, my youngest daughter, Sandra, she was a perfectionist. And so she suited me pretty well because she tried to do everything just right, you know. However, you know, she had issues too because she would, like, if she made one mistake on a piece of homework, she'd wad it up in a ball and throw it away and start all over again. And so,
yeah,
you know,
so that was hard on her.
We all have our things. And my youngest son, who's the CEO of all the stuff besides the World Missions, mm-hmm. I mean, he was my baby, first of all. And, you know, I just loved him to pieces, but he was also he's got some type A, but a lot of sanguine, and he just wanted to have fun. You know, he hated school. He's not a book type person. He's more of a hands-on type person. And he amazes me, like he has a gift of wisdom and he can fix almost anything, but he still is not crazy about reading. You know, it's just different people are different. And I think if you want to get along with people, you have to stop trying to make people be what you want them to be. A statement that I heard that I think is very good is you have to learn to love people where they're at, not where you want them to be.
And it's the same for your kids.
Right, same for your kids.
Your kids are people. Sometimes we don't think of them that way.
That's right. I have a book called Teenagers Are People, too.
Right. Yes.
Because I think we think sometimes our kids, you know, just aren't people.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that, you know, you had, just two girls, but I'm mm-hmm. sure that, you know, you had issues, had challenges at different times.
Yeah, different phases of different things happening in our life. And I remember the first time when our first daughter was 2 years old, and like she was the most darling baby. Everything was just perfect. And she hit two and was like, who is this crazy child?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, then it's like, I don't know that I want to continue this right now. So, and you know, then you get through that phase, and then it's more difficult as they get older, of course.
Right.
And because the problems are just different and they're bigger problems. And you work through them, but there are times that you have these feelings, mm-hmm. right? It's you always choose to love, but there are times that you have feelings
and you feel like they don't love you.
Exactly. Yeah. That are more, you know, this is going really well, and then you're feeling like we're just not clicking, we're not connecting, I don't know what's happening. So definitely been through those times.
I remember Laura telling me one time, I hate you.
Yeah. And that's a hard one.
We laugh about that now, but I tell you, it wasn't funny that day.
Right.
And I mean, when she got married and moved away from home and didn't call me, I'd cry and tell them she doesn't love me anymore.
Yeah.
And even, you know, as they've been adults, you go through different phases. Like, she has four children. So when she was really busy with her children, I rarely ever saw her. And that was a difficult time.
Yeah.
And now, you know, her kids are all grown and married, and so she has lots of time for me.
Right.
And all of my kids are great in different ways, and like every other human being on earth, they all have weaknesses just like I do, just like you do.
Yeah.
And all I can say is work through it and don't – things will change. Keep loving people. You know, just keep loving people. We need to love people. We don't have to like everything they do. But we do need to love them unconditionally. And we need to always let our children know, I don't like what you did, but I love you.
Yeah. Great advice. If you're one of those parents right now who's feeling like, I just don't like them a lot right now, hold on. It will change.
It will get better.